Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
It's a great and a wonderful opportunity to be here this morning. It's good to see you. And before I bring the word of God, just turn to the person seated next to you and tell them that it's good to see you. If there's no one sitting next to you, you can turn to the person at your back or the front. And if you are confident and comfortable, tell them that you look good this morning. Maybe that's the only compliment they've received this week. So it's good to see everybody. It's a great and a wonderful opportunity to be bringing the word of God once again to you. My name is Victor, for those who do not know me. And as of last week, I'm the new leader and congregation leader and pastor here. And it's so wonderful to see each and every one of you. Amen. I bring you greetings from Pastor Clive and Pastor JD, that's Jonathan Dyke. This morning, they've sent their love to you. Amen. Okay, I want to go straight to the Word of God. Last week, I laid a foundation on what I'm calling a new season. And I did a little bit of elaboration of the direction that I feel that God is taking us as a congregation. And as we were praying this morning with the team that we were praying with, I did feel very strongly in my heart that it is important for us to understand the times that we are living in, not just as a congregation, but as individuals. The Bible says, redeeming times for the days are evil. We need to work in discernment so that we can know exactly where we are in our walk with God. And not just in our walk with God, but in the purpose of God for us being here. God has ordained a purpose for each and every one of us. And I believe as you go through what I'm just about to share this morning, this will begin to unfold so that when we go back to our lives, we may have that prayer and desire in our spirit that, God, I want to fulfill your purpose for my life in my generation. I want to fulfill your purpose for my life in my family. I believe that God does no mistakes. By the way, I'm a published author and I've got a few books. And one of the books, actually, Pastor Clive did the foreword for me. And in that book, we're looking at something called the divine perspectives of God. That sometimes when we look at from where we are standing right now, we might not really understand what God is doing. But when we look back and we begin to join the dots, then we begin to see the hand of God at work. That God had to ordain that I be in that situation at that particular time for his purpose. God had to lead me to this particular town, to this particular family, to this particular job for his purpose. So it is important to understand that our lives are ordered by God. The Bible says the steps of a righteous person are ordered from above. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to continue with unfolding what I'm calling a new season. It's going to be the first of the two series that I will do this Sunday and next Sunday. And then as we come to the end of next Sunday, I will invite us to respond and to pray and to dedicate ourselves into what God wants to do in our personal lives as well as in the lives of the life of the church. So if you may please stand with me, the book of Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1 through to verse 3. What is very interesting is that God gave me this word in September last year. We'd met at Foundry Lane in Horsham for morning prayers. I was doing cameras. For those who don't know, I was a cameraman at Horsham. I was doing cameras, and I was as we met for that for the morning prayers as a service team that morning, God dropped this word in my heart and I prayed it out. And by the unction of God, I spoke a few prophetic decrees upon the church, not knowing that Pastor Clive had prepared the very same message for the church. In fact, during that prayer session, he was like, I don't think I need to preach now. Everything has been, you know, preempted. You can go back to the Foundry Lane's podcast and listen to that sermon. But the Lord has stirred this theme in my spirit, and I believe it's a timely message, not just for the Crowley congregation, but also for Kingdom Faith at large. Now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 3, the NIV version says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. I'm going to pause there. We're going to come back to it next Sunday. Now, one of the distinctiveness of living in England is our ability to experience different seasons throughout the year. And sometimes if we are unlucky, we have all the four seasons in one day. You might wake up when it's summer, the sun is out and all shining. By the time you go to bed in the evening, it's winter, it's all cold and all very, very wet. So the Lord here is trying to speak to us about a change of seasons. And each season, as even we have it in the natural, unfolds its own unique beauty. We have spring that breathes life into the world with vibrant blooms. You know, when we start seeing the flowers and the daffodils and life is coming back after a dark season. And then the summer wraps us in warmth and we have long days of sunlight. We enjoy the things that are happening. We even adjust our clocks to have extra hours. We can enjoy the day. Then we have autumn that you've just passed through or passing through that paints a landscape with its rich hues and colors and harvest. I think there's a place down it's called Shepherd's Park. You know, I'm forgetting the name of that place right here, near the Bluebell Railway. There is a big park. This is the Shepherd's, what is it called? Sheffield Park. Yeah, I remember I went there one time during autumn and I do not think I've been to such a beautiful place yet. The colors, the hues are blending very well, especially if you go just before sunset. It's beautiful. The beauty of autumn. But even as it happens, the trees are shedding their leaves. And then we get to a very dark and a cold season during winter. But all these seasons are ordained of God. And in case you don't know, it's not in my sermon notes, but you can read in the book of Genesis chapter 8 and you will see God making a covenant and telling Noah, as long as the earth remains, seasons will never cease. And God demarcates a season based on various things. And he says there will be seed time and harvest time. There will be day and night. And there will be cold and hot. And then there will be summer and winter. Each of those distinct seasons symbolically represents something in our lives. And God granting us an opportunity, we shall have a look at that. But what God is saying is that seasons will never cease. There will be times when we are going through a dark winter, but spring is just around the corner. And what I like about that covenant that God made is that he did what we call a duality. It means that if you're in a dark season, your light is coming soon. You missed a good place to say amen. Amen. Things do change and seasons do change. So together, we are reminded that God is doing something in our lives. There is something happening. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says there is a season. The Amplified Version says a time appointed for everything and a time for every delight and every event or purpose under heaven. There is a time and a season for everything. And I would challenge you to read the rest of the chapter and you will see how the seasons are demarcated. It says there's a time to mourn and a time to be happy. There is a time to gather and a time to scatter. There is a time to discipline. There is a time to show love. And it continues on and on. Seasons and times are ordained by God. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. And even as he does that, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. Now, this makes me understand two things. That number one, because it is God at work, then my purpose, therefore, is infused to what God is doing. So therefore, the call is for me to walk in discernment, to know the season and to know my purpose in that season. Because you can be in a season, but when you miss your purpose in that season, you miss out on what God is doing. Now, the Bible says there is a purpose, there is a season for every purpose. That means you can be in a purpose, but out of season. And you can be in a season, but not in God's purpose. And that is why it's important to understand when God is moving and God is working so that you can be in sync with God. Do you remember the pool called Bethesda? The Bible says there used to come an angel at some point and he would stir the water and the first person to jump in would receive their healing. What that teaches me is that there are seasons and times when God does something, and if you are not discerning, if you don't walk in revelation, you might miss out on the purposes of God. Jesus going down to Jerusalem pauses at a place and he looks down at the valley of Tyre and Sidon and he cries out and he says, "How I wish you knew the time of your visitation." Because they were not discerning of the times. Are we still together so far? The Bible talks about a certain tribe in the Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32, there was a tribe, the tribe of Issachar, and the Bible says the children of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now they were more honorable than their brothers in this respect. Because if you look at the descendants of Jacob, these ones are the only ones the Bible speaks about of having an understanding of the times and knowing not what just themselves, but the whole of the nation of Israel ought to do. How I pray that in this congregation, we shall be as the children of Issachar, understanding the times we are living in, that we may know what we ought to do. Many times what we have is believers who are doing motions and walking through life. I like saying this, but this is to the light touch, that they are sleepwalking through their faith. They are sleepwalking through their Christianity. They are not really sure. If you ask them, hold on, let's have some moment to reflect. Let's have some moment to just take some stock. After all, the Bible says that a steward shall be found faithful. So you need to account at some point. Tell me, how has it been walking with God? How has your life as a member of the Crowley congregation, as a believer based in Crowley, as a Christ ambassador in the UK at such a time as this, how have you been walking in the purposes of God? And I want us to graduate from that point where we just go to church on a Sunday, then we go out to the rest of our lives on Sunday afternoon, waiting for the next Sunday for us to come and do the same motions over and over again. How I pray that from this minute moving forward, we will be so in sync with God, we will be so in tune with God, that even when announcements are made in the newspapers or on televisions, we know what God is doing. There are three kinds of people. First kind are people who make things happen. People who pray. People who conceive things in the womb of prayer. They push through and they deliver. They are the midwives of the revivals we see. They are people who just are behind the scenes and in the closet. They are pushing through the purposes of God. If you read in the book of Luke, you will see a prophetess called Anna. And the Bible says for 80 years, she was interceding and praying for the Messiah. People who are behind the scenes praying the purposes of God. Then we've got a group number two, are people who see things happening. Now you see people being blessed, but there are people, number one, who are pushing these things. You see people being lifted. You see people, you know, walking in glory. You see miracles, signs and wonders. Things don't just happen. Things are caused to happen. But the group number two, they are the ones who are there. They see the wonders of God. The Bible says that God showed the Israelites his works, but unto Moses he revealed his ways. And then we've got group number three, are people who ain't got a clue what's going on. Everything always catches them by surprise. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. But you ask, and I said last week that this is going to be such a prophetic church that we are going to be the spiritual thermometer and barometer of whatever is happening in Crawley. Praise the name of Jesus. That when people are lifted up, we will not be surprised because we saw it in the spirit. When people are brought down, we will not be surprised because we saw it in the spirit. Don't just sleepwalk even at your workplaces. You just go there and change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So the children of Issachar, they knew what they ought to do. So I believe with all my heart that we are entering into a season of God fulfilling his word in our lives. You missed a good place to say amen. God will do exactly what he has promised. Let me show you a very good verse. Joshua chapter 21 verse 45. Now as you can tell, I've moved from Joshua 1 all the way to Joshua chapter 21. Next Sunday, we shall bridge that gap. Joshua 21, verse 45. The Bible says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say, it came to pass. Amen. Now touch yourself and say, it shall come to pass. And I declare by the authority of the word of God, there is no word that God has spoken over your life that will not come to pass in the name of Jesus. May it be fulfilled over your lives in Jesus' name. May every promise you are holding on be fulfilled in your life in the name of Jesus. May every prophecy decreed to you come to pass in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are so many people today walking loaded with the word of God, loaded with the word of God, but we are not seeing the fulfillment. Today, I came to declare by the word of God, we are entering into a season where the Bible says good thing. Can you tell your neighbor good thing? Good thing. I declare, may every good thing decreed by God over your life come to pass in Jesus' name. May it be fulfilled in your day in Jesus' name. May it be fulfilled in your generation in the name of Jesus. Let me give you a short testimony as I move on. As many of you might have known, I've quit my job. I am a lawyer by training, but I was lecturing somewhere in an FE college. And when the whole of these things started, before it started, by the way, I felt that time was coming for me to wrap up what I was doing. You know when you are doing something but you don't have grace for it, you're just doing motions. And I say this with all humility that I believe I was a good one. I did a good job. Now let me tell you why I'm saying this. It is because one day somebody put my name to nominate me as the FE lecturer of the year in the whole of the UK. Now, I had no idea whatsoever that they did so. But I kept on claiming the promises of God. That God, you have anointed me with the oil of gladness and exalted my horn above my contemporaries. I said, Lord, for as long as I'm in this office, I will shine for your glory. As long as I'm in this office, dear God, I pray I will be a light, I will be the salt, I'll be everything decreed over me in by the word of God. And then fast forward, my principal receives a big envelope with some very lovely letter and a very big certificate saying that Victor has won as the FE Lecturer of the Year 2024. Praise the name of Jesus. And why I'm saying this is to build up your faith and to boost your faith, because the moment I determine I will enforce the word of God, I will stand on the word of God in my workplace, God began to fulfill his word over my life. To the extent when I tendered my resignation, they refused to accept it. Hello? Do people know that you're a Christian where you work? Are you sure? Or if we came and said, I'm looking for the Christian lady who works here, they're going to go like, and then when they mention your name, not them, surely. So may every good word that God has spoken over your life be fulfilled. But I've got a question for you. What promise are you holding on to? What word are you holding on to? We're going to be a people of the word, because when you know the word of God, then we know what to pray for. We know what to claim from the word of God. I remember when I spoke about the desire, the Lord puts the He puts his desires in our hearts and in our spirit. Then they become our desires. And when you go to God, the Bible says he shall give you the desires of your heart. And remember, the Bible also says it's him who makes you both to will and to do. It is him who makes you both to desire and to do. May every good word be fulfilled in this season. Amen. Now, so after the death of Moses, as you have seen, God speaks directly to Joshua and he commissions him. And he gives him the mandate of leading the Israelites to Canaan. And what I'm going to look at now is not so much so the personal word spoken to Joshua, but the congregational word spoken to Joshua by God regarding how he's going to move the nation of Israel. But first, God had to address the elephant in the room, the death of Moses. And he says, Moses, my servant. So he empathizes with Joshua and he says, I know he was your mentor. I know he was your boss, so to speak, because the Bible says Moses is aid. So Joshua was a helper to Moses. And he says, I am also grieving the mourning of my servant Moses. One thing I want you to understand is that the Bible says that we do not have a high priest who is alienated from our sufferings. Because Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he was tried and tested in every way. Therefore, he is able to empathize with us. And not only that, the Bible says he is able to help us, because he lives to make intercessions for us. So Jesus empathizes with our situations. Jesus understands where we are at any moment in time. I remember a few weeks ago, God giving me a word from the book of Matthew. And this word really, really struck a chord in my heart. And this was about when the brother died. And I think somebody read that word here not so long ago. When John the Baptist died, the cousin, when he died, and Jesus, the Bible says, he was grieved. And I mean, he was moved in the spirit and he grieved. And he withdrew to go and pray in a solitary place all by himself. So Jesus feels what you are going through. He is moved by your affliction. The Bible says he sees the affliction of his people. He hears their cry. So God tells Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. That is to say, we have to first of all identify where we are right now. One of the starting points to make a difference in your life is to stop living in denial. And I'm not doing a counseling session here, although I have my counseling certificates and all that. And in the year 1969, there's a lady by the name of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. You might have heard of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And she came up with a theory known as the five cycles of grief. Have you heard of the five cycles of grief? Maybe God granting us an opportunity, Isabel will take us through that. And she modeled grief through these five stages. And they said that these are the emotional reactions we tend to go through every time we are facing a traumatic life event, such as bereavement or death, or we are given some sad news. We are coming to a place where something is becoming terminal. You are losing your job, or you are losing your loved one, or you've been told by the doctor, put your house in order for you are going home. You know, those kind of situations. And she argued that there are five stages. Stage number one is denial, that you don't want to accept it. It's not happening. And I can almost empathize that when you heard that there was a leadership transition, probably there are people in this congregation who have gone through another leadership transition who were like, oh God, no, it's not happening again. Why do Rohan and Anna have to go? Why? You are in that denial phase. And then she argues further that from denial, you go to a moment of anger. You get angry. Why me, oh God? Why me? And I've seen situations where I remember one time I was praying for a sick man. He's still alive, by the way, 7 years ago. And I remember I got into a plane to go and see him. And when I was sitting there and I was like, what am I even doing? And I began to say, God, why? This man has been a righteous man. This man has been very healthy. I know his lifestyle. Why would he be afflicted by this condition? I know other people who don't have such a healthy lifestyle. I know people who are wicked, but they don't even have the slightest of a cold or a flu. Why him? And you get into that situation where you're angry. Angry with God. Angry with the devil, angry with your spouse, angry with your partner. And you might have been angry with Rohan and Anna. Why are you abandoning us? Why are you leaving us? And then she argues, when you break through that, you go to another stage of bargaining. That if probably I'm a better person, this will not happen. If I change in this way, maybe God will be more favorable towards me. So it's denial, anger, bargaining. And you start looking for a transaction, an exchange. How can I deal with this thing to make it, you know, better for me? And then she argues that once you moved on from there, then you are likely to either sink into depression. That means you are in a pervasive low mood from which you're not able to come from. And remember, by the way, this is a model and a theory, okay? So it's not something in the Bible. Are we clear on that? And it's been critiqued a few times, and some other things have been added to it. This was in 1969. But she argues that if you break through that season, then you get into a place called acceptance. That, Lord, I have accepted you are at work in my life. You say like Job that, Lord, even though I cannot trace you, I will still trust you. Lord, even though I don't know why my marriage had to break down, I will still trust you. Even though I don't understand why I had to bury my child, God, I will still trust you. Lord, I don't know why I lost my job, but Lord, and Job says, even if you kill me, even if you slay me, Lord, I will still trust you. And you begin to accept that God is at work. Even when you can't trace him, the Bible says, I go to the north and I can't find you. I go to the south and I can't find you. Where are you, God? But you know, we do not walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And faith sometimes means going, not knowing where you're going. It means that, Lord, I will take the first step, not knowing what will happen to me. And so you get to that place of acceptance. And I'm talking about the Kubler-Ross cycle. And so I can imagine God telling Moses, why do I keep on saying Moses? God telling Joshua that we are in this together. He was my servant. I've lost a servant. I've lost, the Bible says, the meekest man who ever lived. I've lost a friend. The Bible says, a man I spoke to face to face. I've lost a person who I was vulnerable to as God, and I showed him my glory. I've lost a close confidant. So therefore, God says, my servant Moses is dead now. Arise, because it's a new season. The old season is gone. The old things have passed away. I am doing a new thing. And it's a time for us to arise and possess the land. Hallelujah. So a new season, therefore, calls for a fresh anointing. It calls for renewed minds. So what God was doing with Joshua was not kind of a psychotherapy, really, but what he was doing with Joshua was to make him understand it's a new dispensation. It is your season. You've got to arise. I am anointing you afresh. I am equipping you afresh. I'm giving you a fresh mandate. I'm giving you a fresh authority because the work ahead is great. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, verse 37 to verse 38. A new season, the Bible says, who pours new wine into an old wineskin? If someone did, the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would be lost. New wine must always be poured into new wineskins. Just lift up your hand and say, renew my mind, O Lord. Anoint me afresh. Because a new season means new wineskin. that our minds are going to be renewed by the word of God for the next season that God is about to usher us into. That God is going to give us a fresh anointing for whatever he's about to. I remember one time I was praying and God gave me a revelation for a certain situation, saying that the anointing that, or the grace that brings you out of the wilderness, might not necessarily be the same grace that leads you into the promised land. Because the Bible says we grow from one level of grace to another, grace upon grace. Titus is told, grace be multiplied to you. All right? And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. So you do need a fresh anointing to move into a new dimension. Hello? How many of you drive cars? So for some of you, maybe you take them back to the dealership every year. Some of us go to Quick Fit or to another garage somewhere, and they service the car. They drain out the old oil and they put in some new clean oil. And then after the service, you're told you're going to go for another 12,000 miles or 12 months, whichever comes earlier, and then you bring the car back to us, we service it again, and then you go back to the road. And I feel that God is doing that to some of us today in the name of Jesus. Fresh anointing, you're being serviced, and you might not even know it, but in the next few days, God will be dealing things in your life. And you're like, now, God, I know you are changing the sparks plugs. I'm going to be firing with new cylinders, God. I know I'm being recharged, I'm being renovated, I'm being rejuvenated in the name of Jesus. Our minds are being renewed. The old ways of doing things is being cast aside, and God is giving us fresh ideas. You will be surprised, some godly ideas that God will give to you for this congregation, for our youth, for the women ministry, for everything that concerns the kingdom of God. I speak new ideas to you in the name of Jesus. New ideas of how to witness and evangelize. New ideas of even how to raise your family. New ideas of how to do business in the name of Jesus. We cannot put new wine in old wineskins. The Bible says two things are going to happen. The wine will, you know, because of fermentation, will burst the wineskins, and we're going to lose the wineskins and lose the wine. And that is what happens when you try to fit the new move of God in old ways of doing things. We lose the move and we lose the people. That should not be your story. I said that shall not be our story. In the name of Jesus, new spirits, new minds, renewed affection, renewed compassion, renewed commitment in the name of Jesus, so that we may harness and tap into what God is doing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, as I conclude today's service, how does Moses' season look like? Now, Moses' season, I would say by the word of God and by the revelation that God gave me last year in September, 1 year ago, that Moses' season is everything that has happened to us up to this point. And I go back to many seasons and many years of establishing of the kingdom faith. I am not as blessed as some of you were. I know people like Jeff and Elizabeth have been in kingdom faith for decades, and they have seen the wonders of God. They have seen the mighty moves of God. But when I was praying, and I remember God gave me these words specifically to speak to Pastor Clive during that meeting, that God is saying that season is gone. We are moving into another season. And it takes renewed mind and renewed spirit to understand the revelation of God. The Bible is very clear. The things of the spirit are spiritually discerned. You've got to engage your spirit wavelength for you to catch them. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out. If you look at what God is doing with your fleshly eyes, or with your eyes of experience, or with your carnal mind, you will not discern God. You will miss out. And the Bible says that a number of things happen. So give me the next slide. I'm going to talk about the Moses generation, or the Moses season. And there are some things. Are you able to see the screen from there? And there are a number of things that God did in the season of Moses that he's saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Number one, it is characterized by deliverance from Egypt. Now, you can tell that I have fast-forwarded from when Moses was born and how he was raised up and how he attempted to deliver people using his own strength, how he ran away to the desert of, is it called Midian or whatever it's called, and how he was there looking after the sheep of his father-in-law and how he saw a burning bush. I've fast-forwarded through all that. And you've come to the time when God brings the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, what I want you to understand every time you read the word of God, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. It is full of foreshadowing of whatever happens in the New Testament. So we like saying that the Old Testament has the New Testament concealed in it. And then in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. So what we find as promises and prophecies in the Old Testament for us as new believers, or sorry, as New Testament believers, or as after Calvary Christians, then they become to us the promises of God. What we find as principles in the New Testament, most of them are in pictures in the Old Testament. And it will take some time for us to do a little bit of Bible study for us to be able to understand all of that. But every word of God is breathed of God. Hallelujah. So therefore then, Egypt is a type and a shadow of the world. And it symbolizes bondage. And so therefore deliverance from Egypt, if you remember the Passover lamb and all that kind of a thing, is symbolizing salvation. In fact, one of the key shadows of the Passover and the deliverance is pointing towards Jesus as the Passover lamb. So we find salvation. So many of us have gotten born again. And if you're not saved, the Bible says that this is your day of salvation. So you've gotten born again, you've gotten saved, you've come to the kingdom of God, and you are walking with God. Then number two, the Moses season symbolizes that you have crossed the Red Sea, that you've been baptized, you've made a public declaration that I have turned away from my past life. To repent means I turn around, you know, and I am now following Jesus. I have been buried and raised back to life, and I have done it publicly. Publicly, so that people can know I am a disciple of Jesus. I love baptisms. And then after you've been baptized, the next thing that happens after that, we're saying there is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which was a sign and a symbol of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they were to give, that the pillar was to give them light. They were guiding the people of Israel. As it moved, they moved. The Bible says when you see the cloud move, you gotta break everything you're doing. I mean, break the camp, stop everything you're doing and move. Otherwise, you will miss out on what God is doing. So this is a symbol of the abiding presence of God in our lives through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Walk ye in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit continually leading you up to where we are. And I believe as a ministry and as a church, we've had most of those moments. We have wonderful moments where we have seen the Holy Spirit manifest His power and His presence in our midst. Right from the young saints, all the way to the, you know, to the congregations, through normal Sunday services, through prayer meetings, through faith camps, we've seen the wonders of God. We've seen incurable diseases being cured. We've seen demon-possessed people being set free. We've seen wonderful breakthroughs and mighty things that God has done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that that is over. I'm just saying that it's a new season. And we are moving to a higher dimension. Praise the name of the Lord. And then the next thing that happens, apart from having a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night, the next thing we see is the wilderness and the mountain experience. These people went through the wilderness, they went through mountains, and this is symbolizing the discipleship process of being discipled as a believer and also being given the statutes, what we call the law of God. Now, of course, later on, Paul says in the book of Romans that we are not under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of grace, the law of Christ. So that means when you come to Jesus, you are not coming to a lawless kind of an experience. You know, these days we are having people who are preaching that I am under the grace and not under the law. And it's important to qualify that. Yes, we are not under the law of Moses. But the Bible teaches we are under the law of God. We are under the law of Christ, which is also the law of grace. And that is why the Bible continues to say that now if you continue iniquity, you are not under the grace. For the grace of God teaches us to say no to all ungodliness. Are we together so far? Is it too heavy or not? All right. So we do have a godly way of living. And you just need to read the New Testament and see how God expects us to live as new believers. I mean, as New Testament believers. Praise the name of Jesus. The Great Commission has two very important parts. It says, go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to good news to every creature, the Bible says. And then the next part that says, and teaching them to obey the things that I have taught you. So when you come to faith, when you become a new believer, you have to be taught the ways of God. The Bible calls it being born again, then being brought up in the faith until you mature, the Bible says, and attain the image of Christ. So every single day as believers, we are being worked on by God through his word to make us more and more like Christ. That is discipleship. We're being discipled. Now, you can never have the word discipleship without discipline. Disciple, discipline. So there is a way we live as members of the household of God. Being called to Christianity and being born again is not being called to live a lawless life under the grace. Hello? Are we still together? You know, you've got people doing all manner of things but still hiding under the phrase, I am under the grace. God expects people to live righteously. He expects people to live holy lives. He expects people to walk in purity. And we can see in the Bible so many things the Lord tells us to avoid, 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 do not, do not. But again, he also tells us what to do. To walk in holiness with him. Praise the name of the Lord. That is discipleship. And we've got to have that. Even as a body of believers, as a Kingdom Faith Church, this is what we have to agree together as a family and as a fellowship, that this is our doctrine. We believe in this. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe he was born of Virgin Mary. We believe that he lived among men and he died on the cross and he was buried and he was raised back to life. He went back to the Father. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe all these things. We believe in the baptism by immersion. There are things that hold us together. We call them the statement of faith. And by the way, if you go to the Kingdom Faith website, there is a button there, what we believe. Hello? Are we still together? Because many people do not know what they believe. And that is a challenge, especially when we go witnessing and evangelizing. You find people of a different faith who breathe, speak, talk, sweat everything they believe. They're like super saturated sponges. You know when you dip a sponge in water and you bring it out, you squeeze them, what comes out? It's whatever is in the sponge. You find people like that. But then you find believers who are not really sure about their faith. You ask them, is Jesus really the Son of God? And they're like, oh, let me go read about that. And then I will come back and have that discussion. Is Jesus really raised from the dead? Let me go and ask my pastor about it. And then we'll talk about it next week. So this is the aspect of discipleship. And I would encourage us, anytime there is a course going where we are being called to be discipled together, to be brought up together in faith, it is important. The Bible says we are being built, we are being built, we are being built until we get formed. Praise the name of the Lord. So that is discipleship. We've got statutes, we've got the law. And the last one is the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, in my opinion, is one of the most fundamental pictures pictures and types of how true worship is. You look at it from the way Moses did it, and then you combine it with what we see in the Revelation, and we can see how to approach a holy God in worship, in prayer. A holy God being approached by people who have been sprinkled, the Bible says, with the blood of Jesus for the cleansing, so that we can approach a holy God and offer spiritual sacrifices. We believe in the priesthood of all believers as a church. And that is to say that we are called upon to offer spiritual sacrifices. So the tabernacle, therefore, is a type and a shadow of how to pray and to worship God, how to have fellowship and communion with God. And I'm saying that this is a season we have been in. And I want to encourage us that even as we move to the next season, a time has come for us to become deeper and for us to understand what this is all about. Hello? Saying grace just before meals is not enough. Saying what we call firefighting prayers only when you are in trouble is not enough. Prayer has to become a lifestyle. Worship has to become a lifestyle. And when I say that prayer has to become a lifestyle, we've got to be people who pray when we feel like it. We pray when you don't feel like it. We pray in the prayer meetings. We pray in the streets. We pray in our closets. We pray everywhere we are, because this is how we keep our connection with God active. Some time ago, I had an American line that I bought when I was in America. And after not using it for some time, I received a message telling me that your line has been disconnected. And it went completely out of service. And they said they are due to lack of continued use. And so now if I go to America, I'll have to buy another line. But what I'm trying to show you by that example, if a mobile phone service provider can disconnect me for being out of contact and not being in regular use, think about it spiritually. You will be disconnected. And somebody told me that if you feel like the distance between you and God has increased, check to see who moved. He is still in his holy place. He's still in his habitation. He's still on his throne. So if you feel, you know, like, it's like when you have, oh, we are all believers. We are going to heaven perpendicularly, no horizontal issues. But you know, sometimes you feel like there's a conflict between you and somebody. And then from there, you start filling the gap. And I'm talking about close friends. You feel the gap is widening. Now, pause for a moment. Check to see who moved. You see, I say this with all love and humility, that I love my wife to bits, but I am married to one female wife, Emma. And Emma has a gift that if we have a disagreement, you know, we are on earth doing life, okay? Yeah, we are not. We don't come from heaven in the morning and then go back in the evening. So sometimes we have a little bit of disagreement. We don't disagree on matters, love and all that. It's, you know, other things of life. You know, for example, what to cook for dinner and where to go on holidays, that kind of things. But anyway, the point is, when such things happen, because of my temperamental disposition, the Holy Spirit is working on me. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is working on me. I am the kind of a person that can become very quiet and aloof. But Emma will not leave you until the matter is solved. So, okay. Sweetie, there is this thing I want us to talk about. There is this thing we have to discuss. And if I pretend like I am not listening or I'm not paying attention, she will not let go until we sort it out. I had a marriage counselor say that never go to bed with unresolved issues. And then somebody asked her, then what do you do? Then she said, sit up all night. Anyway, the point here is, when you feel like the relationship is breaking down, go back and check who moved. In the corporate world, we say that communication is the lifeline of the business. We say communication is to any relationship what blood is to the body. When communication stops flowing, then that relationship begins to die. It doesn't matter what kind of a relationship it is. Now, The tabernacle is a typology of our relationship with God. And why I am saying this is because throughout all these things, there is one constant. And the constant there is Joshua. Joshua was there through all this. And the Bible says that Joshua never left the tent of the meeting. He was always there. He was always communing with God. When Moses goes up the mountain, Joshua is tagging along. When he sends out the spies, Joshua is among them. And so when God says that it's a Joshua generation coming next, which I will deal with next week, it means that we have not only gone beyond this, but we are now taking each and every one of these to another level of glory. We are getting deeper in intimacy with God. We are going to draw from the wells of salvation with joy. The Bible says, you shall draw from the wells of salvation with joy. We are going to be more attuned in discipleship with God. Disciples making other disciples. Not only that, we are also going to celebrate baptism as you see people being converted and coming to God. Praise the name of the Lord. And so therefore then, to conclude, we are coming into that season where God is calling us now to have some faithful service to him. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 5, the Bible says that Moses was a faithful servant to God. We are being called now to increase our level of faithfulness, to be passionate about walking in obedience with God. And then Joshua takes stage, and there's a paradigm shift. And the message is clear. It's now time to arise and possess the land. I believe that you've come to a very distinct apostolic and prophetic moment for the church. You missed a good place to say amen. Amen. Let me try again. I believe we've come to a very distinct moment or season, a distinct prophetic and apostolic moment for the church. That's better. That's better. I have a trick I'll use next time, you know, where I normally say, may the Lord bless those who are saying amen. And it is incumbent upon us to just catch the revelation of what God is doing. And not only catch the revelation of what God is doing, but to walk in discernment to know when the season changes. And not only when the season changes, but the purpose of God in my season. And so wherever you are, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment and say, Lord, it's a new season. What have you got in store for me? I pray for the spirit of revelation, knowledge, and understanding, that God may open the eyes of your understanding, that you may see what he wants to do with you and through you in this new season. I pray that God will begin to give you visions, clear visions of what you need to do for your family, what you need to be doing in the church, in the name of Jesus. Just speak to God and say to God, I'm open up, Lord. I'm open. I'm open. I'm open. Speak to me. Show me what you need me to do. Let me discern my season. Let me discern my Kairos moment. Who knows that you might have come to the kingdom for such a time as these? Who knows that you might be in Crawley for such a time as these? Who knows that you were born in that family for such a time as this? Who knows you got married into that family for such a time as this? Who knows of all the employers in the world, you ended up with that employer for such a time as this? Who knows that your children were born to you or they came to you for such a time as this? Who knows that you are in kingdom faith for such a time as this? Father God, I pray for each and every person today to receive a revelation of the season you are leading us to. I pray, oh God, that you may help us to understand our purpose in this generation, our purpose in this season, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that, Lord, you may help us to discern what you are moving, what you are doing, to discern when the cloud moves, that we may move in the name of Jesus. I rebuke rebuke the spirit of stagnation in the name of Jesus. People who have remained stagnant in one area for a long time, today in the name of Jesus, we give them a jump start to move on. In Jesus' mighty name, we refuse the spirit of delay, going round and round the mountains for a long time, as you spoke to the children of Israel, saying, arise and move forward, for the place has become defiled for you. I rebuke every spirit of delay in the name of Jesus. And I pray that everybody today will have the urgency to move with your move in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of procrastination in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that this is king's business, and king's business requires haste. Lord, I pray that whoever needs to arise will arise today in the name of Jesus. Whoever needs to move will move today in the name of the Lord. That, Lord, if they cannot walk, they can crawl. If they cannot walk, they can fly. Whatever ways and means they used to move, I speak movement right now. I speak shifting right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I rebuke the spirit of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of defeat. And we believe in your word that says, fear not, for I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. For every person walking in fear, I rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. I break the stronghold of fear in Jesus' name. The fear of stepping out and trying out, the fear of witnessing, the fear of evangelizing, I rebuke you right now. And wherever there is fear, I speak faith in Jesus' mighty name. I speak faith to every doubting soul. I speak faith to every fearful soul in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you and I glorify your holy name. I declare and decree that each and every person here is blessed. Lift up all your hands in the name of the Lord. Father God, I call them blessed, and they that you have blessed, no man can curse. Whatever their hands touch will prosper. Whatever their feet trend, they will possess in the name of Jesus Christ. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. They will walk in victory in Jesus' name. I decree the blessing of God Almighty unto you. Go ye in the power of the Lord. Go ye and wrought miracle signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Be ye hands of Christ. Be ye the mouthpiece of Christ. You are the ambassador of Christ in the name of Jesus. Miracle signs and wonders will follow you for the rest of the week and even forever in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.